We're looking at some of the Christianisms, you know, the little to-go phrases that we seem to linger in the middle of church culture. Last week, we looked at the phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin. And we talked about how that phrase does not acknowledge the love and the mercy that God has for all of God's children. Instead, it labels someone as a sinner primarily and not as a child of God. And we said the better way of trying to get across the sentiment in that phrase is not love the sinner, hate the sin, but love people. Love people. Love people. Hate sin. To recognize the importance of loving God's children and acknowledging their worth and their identity primarily as it's going to move on to something else. And I want to start by talking about when life is not going so well for us. Many of us can relate to that, when life is not going so well. Maybe it's when you have your first child and you can't seem to get any sleep at night. Maybe it's when you're at a job that you don't really want to be at, that you're struggling with, because it's not where God called you. Perhaps it's a marriage that you find yourself 8 months or 12 months or 2 years into, and you recognize it's not everything you thought it was going to be. Maybe you're struggling with a teenager. You don't know how to communicate with them. You don't know how to get them to do what you know that they're capable of doing. Regardless of what it is, all of us can relate to these moments when life is not going well. And perhaps if you've been in the church long enough, you've shared some of these struggles in a small group or in a Sunday school group or at a breakfast group that you're a part of. And one of the things you'll always hear in the church is, you know, life is not going well because you're getting in God's way. You know, you're trying too hard to handle it yourself and you're not letting God handle it. You're getting in God's way. And one of the cliche Christianisms we have for that is you just need to let go and let God. You're holding on too tight to your problems. You just need to let go. Let God handle it for you. Now, this is something that, much like last week's, it's not that it's bad in and of itself, but it in many ways seems to sell God short. And really, I think it tends to sell our faith short. So is let go and let God in the Bible? Does the Bible really say let go and let God? I'm going to be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And from what I was able to find out, this seems to be the verse that people lean on to back up this statement, this Christianism of let go and let God. So hear these words from the Gospel of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain and produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way prove that you are my disciples. Amen. So hear this. kind of in the midst of the scripture. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. It's that last sentence, without me, you can't do anything, that inspires something like let go and let God. We're able to do anything in and of our in, just let go and let God. The problem is that that is one sentence taken out of context in the midst of a larger message that Jesus has for his disciples. And it starts with this idea that a life in Christ is demanding. That's not something we usually try to sell people with. But for anyone that's been, know that it's not like you become a life is amazing and outstanding and nothing bad ever happens. No, a life in Christ is demanding. And we hear it right here at the beginning. Verse 2 of chapter 15, it says, he removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. Y'all recognize that we're the branches, right? A Christian, every person that follow Christ and Christ's ministry is a branch on the vine that is Jesus Christ. But right here it says if you don't produce fruit, the vineyard keeper, that is God, snips you off. And here's the real hard part. Even if you're producing fruit, snips you off so you can produce even more fruit. There's no escaping the scissors when God is your vineyard keeper. The prunes are going to come for you and you're going to be pruned, whether you like it or not. Does that sound like let go and let God to you? No, it sounds like, man, there's some expectations. Jesus seems to be saying that, pardon me, Jesus seems to be saying that, thank you, passage, that there are expectations that if you want to be a part of this vine, you are going to produce fruit. There are demands, there are expectations placed on us as believers. Now, we know that grace abounds in the midst of it. God is going to move in us and God is going to push us in these directions. God is even going to give us the desire to want to go in that direction as God is pushing us in that direction. On us, we are not a works-based religion. That said, if Christ is alive and at work in your life, you're going to see results. You're going to see changes. And in the words of Jesus, you are going to see fruit being born in your life. Now, a life in Christ is also difficult. That's part of the issue with expectations, right? If there are expectations placed upon you, every once in a while, it gets a little difficult to meet them. For us, that might even be something like, you know, I know God doesn't ask much of me, but that 10-minute devotional I try to do in the morning, I forget sometimes. That hour, or in our case, 50-minute worship service I try to make it to, and some Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock, it's just too early, and I can't get myself out of bed. Perhaps it's a small group, or a Bible study, or a Sunday school class that you're a part of, and you think, you know, I really want to go, but that game is on, and I'd rather just watch that instead. That's kind of the easy part of a life in Christ being difficult. But we also know that sometimes life throws very difficult struggles at us that make us question perhaps even the very existence of God, that make us question our own worth as a child of God. Maybe you say to yourself, I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I made that mistake again. I can't believe I blew up at my spouse. I can't believe I caught myself looking at somebody. I can't believe that I told another lie. You find yourself dealing with the difficult nature of being a disciple of Jesus. And you recognize when you look at a passage like this that there are these expectations upon us that say, if I am in Christ and Christ is in me, if I am a branch on the vine of Jesus Christ, there should be fruit in my life. But it feels like I'm just a withering branch, sapping life away from the rest of the people in the church. And we're supposed to, in the midst of that, read our Bibles, go to God in prayer, fast, be part of Christian community, be present in the midst of worship. Because life in Christ is demanding, and a life in Christ is also difficult. Does that sound like let go and let God just yet? Here's the last thing. A life in Christ is a dual partnership. To be a Christian doesn't mean that God does everything for you. It means that God invites you on a journey with Him. That you would be a part of something amazing and informative and life-giving. Look back like it's a TV show and see what's going on in the life of God this week. But that God would be actively involved in your life, and that you would be actively involved in the plan that God has for saving the world. That's what God is getting at. Listen to this. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me, because I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you will produce much fruit. It never says, I'm going to remain in you and life is going to be great. It never says, just let me handle everything for you and you're going to produce fruit. Remain in you. It's a partnership. It's an opportunity that God gives us to be part of something that is amazing. Not that we would just let go of the problems of the world and watch God work. So if we're not supposed to let go and let God, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let God and hold on. Not let go and let God. See, one of the issues that brings up is that it's about us first, but really it's about God. So the idea is you let God work in your life. You let God do these amazing and powerful things. And when you see God starting to move in a direction, you hold on to the coattail of God so that you can be part of saving the world. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to... Even the United Methodist Church mission statement tells us that. To be disciples of Jesus Christ so that we could transform the world. Not so that we can watch God transform the world, but so we can be a part of that transformation process. That's what it means to follow Jesus. To be a part of this partnership. To be invited into a relationship, to be invited into a journey that, yeah, is demanding. Yeah, those pruning shears are going to come for you. And yeah, it's going to be difficult because the sun's going to beat down on you. The troubles of the world are going to try to sap the life out of you. That's why Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Christ that is the living water. Christ that is the great physician. Christ that is the way and the truth and the life. That is the partner that you have on this journey. So sisters and brothers, let's let God lead the way. And may we hold on so that we can be a part of transforming the world. Pray. God, thank you so much for this gift of discipleship. God, thank you so much for the gift of being able to follow you wherever you are calling us to go. God, we recognize that there are demands, there are expectations that you have for us, not because you are a demanding God, but because you are a God that sees the potential for the fruit to be born in our lives. God, sustain us and nurture us. Help us to grow into the sons and daughters that you know us to be. God, we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we have the opportunity to return on some of what God has first given to us through acts of offering. And I don't know something that's going to be happening in here in about an hour and a half. Every fifth Sunday at our 11 o'clock worship service, we have Youth Sunday. It's an opportunity for the youth of our church to step up and lead in worship. And for the first time since I've been here, at least, there's not going to be a sermon given by me or by the senior pastor. Instead, we're going to have three of our youth coming up and giving testimonies to the power of God and the way they saw God move when they were at camp just over a week ago. And something else that happened that none of us asked for is that a lot of the young schoolers and high schoolers decided that God had given them a gift, a song. And so on their own volition, they got together, they found a song, they ran the practices, and they're going to be presenting a song, a girls' choir from our youth group later today. The reason that things like that happen, that youth who are 15, 16 years old would be willing to come up and share a word, the reason that young girls would get together and recognize the gift that God has given them and share it with the church is because they have watched you all. People who have been mentors, people who have poured their life into the church. They've seen God work in their lives and they've seen them respond to God's call. It's because of your gifts. It's because of your presence. It's because of your witness in the lives of young disciples as they continue to bless us with their gifts. That's what you are giving to. A church that doesn't just believe in today, and a church that doesn't just believe in what we've done, but a church that believes in what we are going to do. Amen? Let us pray. God, thank you for these gifts that you have given us. God, we pray that as we prepare to return them to you, that your Holy Spirit would use them to continue to expand your kingdom in this place. So bless these gifts. May they be used in your name for your purposes by this community. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I can be healed, 'cause I'm so calloused, and now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty.
Amen. So good to you all today. As we get ready to go out into the world to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, to be people who would let God and hold on, I want to encourage you all to allow the grace of God to abound deeply in your life, to recognize that even though it is demanding, even though there are expectations, even though life can be difficult, that Christ is your partner. It is that living water in the midst of expectations. It is the living water of Jesus that provides nourishment for dried out souls in the midst of the demanding nature of life in this broken world. So be encouraged. Be hopeful. Be expectant, knowing that God is at work. Amen? And may we be a people that let God go first and hold on to what He's doing in our lives. Thank you again for being here today. If it's your first time here with us in worship, thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I want to encourage you to drop by our guest services table. Our ministry assistant, Peggy Traum, would love the opportunity to talk to you, to speak with you. If it is your first time here today, please drop by. We would love to give you a small gift from us to you, just to be part of our worshiping community today. And if you're looking to learn more about the church, to get more involved, to see what's going on, I encourage you to go by the cry room after worship. We're going to be having our social hour there, and there's going to be a group of members of the church that would love the chance to meet with you, talk to you, answer any questions you might have, and I'll be there as well. Thank you so much for being here. May God richly bless you. May God richly challenge you. And may God continue to be on to what He's doing. Amen. Go in peace.